the great Kahan Shaul Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. We have a lot to cover today, so I want to get right into it. We're going to be continuing on our study of going for the gold here. Going for the gold. This is so important, brothers and sisters, because it involves so much more than just our clothing here, as we're going to see. But we just have about a month left here to work on becoming the gold that Yahweh desires for His family. All right, His family is nearly complete, and He wants us to be that perfect, refined, pure gold, just as Yahshua Messiah is right now. Now, as we go for the gold, I want to talk today about some of the hurdles that we face in our race to go for the gold. Now, for some, this may only be hurdles that we need to jump over. For others, it may be more like mountain climbing. I hope it's just an anthill here that we've got to get over, just a slight glitch. But we need to work on this because the thing that we are being judged on is our effort, the effort that we put forth into overcoming and coming to perfection as that fine gold. Let us not forget what the wearing of the gold means or represents for those who will have part with the bride, the Lamb's wife. All right, remember this great marriage supper that we're awaiting here with the Yahweh. And then at His right hand will be Yahshua and the bride of the Lamb on the left hand there. But turn over to 1 Kefa, 1 Kefa 1 verse 7 on page 957. Because Yahweh is testing and trying us here to see if we can be a part of that bride, the Lamb's wife. And remember the words from our when we got our ear awed here about loving the house of Yahweh more than all else. More than all else. And what all? All means all, okay? Don't forget those words. But in 1 Kefa 1:7, that the trial, well, in verse 6, he says that you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you must suffer grief. You know, this whole world is suffering grief at this time, but they have no reason to rejoice because the only thing that awaits them is the grave. But we have a great plan, and we need to learn that plan, study that plan, and put our full trust in that plan of Yahweh, because it's in the plan of Yahweh that we're able to rejoice, though now for a little while we must suffer grief through manifold temptations. That the trial of our faith, being much more precious than gold, I'm talking about the physical gold here, and the physical gold does have a representation, but it's not mere physical gold that Yahweh wants us to have. Otherwise, He would just tell us where to dig in the ground like they had the gold rush in California. Just dig in this hole here and you'll have gold and everything will be great. That's not what He's talking about. Then gold which perishes, though it is tried with fire. Yes, we must be tried with fire. That's why He says in another place, don't be amazed concerning these fiery trials, which might be found worthy of praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Yahshua Messiah. Not that we're seeking glory by any means, but we want to be worthy of this great kingdom and this great power that Yahweh wants to hand over to us. So look on over to chapter 3. Here, now, remember in chapter 7 that we're being tried here, that being more precious than the gold which perishes here. And then he says, now this is speaking of the wives. But remember that what we're trying to be, every one of us, man, woman, and child, have part with the bride, the Lamb's wife. Remember in another place he said, but I speak about the, in Ephesians 5 there, but I speak about the Messiah and the bride, okay, the Lamb's wife. He says in verse 3, 1 Kefa 3 and verse 3, let your adorning not only be that of the outward adorning,
of the plaiting of the hair, if you have any left, you know, I got a little left, and the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel. But here's the true gold that Yahweh seeks here in verse 4. But also let it be that of your inner self of the heart. Or he's speaking here of our character. He's talking about our character. Character education. Let it be that of your inner self of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a meek, humble, and quiet spirit. This is the gold that Yahweh seeks. This is what Yahshua had. All right, as we'll read in Philippians in a little bit. Which is of great value in the sight of Yahweh. Because when we have that golden character here, this meek, humble, and quiet spirit, Yahweh knows He can trust us to send us out to the universe to straighten out the problems that the whole universe is suffering from at this time. We will have Yahweh's complete trust at that time. Let's see how far we wanted to go. But that's not just for the women, as we mentioned here. It's for the whole body of Messiah, the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, speaking on that same vein, turn over to Matithia 25. Here, Matithia 25, and remember, write this down for your notes in verse 1 through 13 on page 753, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Remember what the foolish virgins ran out of was the golden oil, the golden oil, the golden oil that we need to feed on, that Yahweh tells in Isaiah that a certain one would feed us to the full. With this golden oil of Yahweh's word that changes our character from a rock. Remember he said in Yekechki, I'll make you change your heart from a heart of stone or rock. From a heart of stone to a heart of gold. Pure and perfect in Yahweh's way. Loving Yahweh and loving our fellow man in perfection here. Like Yahshua did. This can only be done with the golden oil. And in Zechariah 4:12 tells us the only place that we can get the golden oil, the only one through whom this golden oil flows, does everybody remember? It's that chosen olive branch, the last chosen olive branch, the last witness. That's it. That's the only place we can get the pure golden oil. And if we run out of oil, Yahshua will say, as he did in verse 12 here in Matithia 25, I do not know you. All right? That would be the worst words in the world we could ever hear, is to have Yahshua say, I do not know you. So brothers and sisters, let's go for that gold. Here's the source of the gold here. The books of Israel is where the golden oil is stored for us. All right, now in this case it's black gold, or Texas tea as they call it, but it's golden nevertheless. Have no doubt that this is golden. These words are golden, and they will turn us into the pure gold that Yahweh wants. Now in Matithia 23... Because on the other hand, we can reject this as the Pharisees did, and their fathers rejected the golden oil that flowed through Moshe and Samuel. And they rejected it, and Yahshua, you know, condemned them for their actions and condemned them for he condemned the character that they had. They could have repented. They had that opportunity, but he condemned the result of their ways. As he says in verse 25 and verse 26, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they're full of extortions, unlawful compulsions, blackmail, incontinence, greed, unrestrained lack of contentment, the unfulfilled lust, the lust that never, you know, they never can fulfill their evil lust, and so that's their whole drive is to seek after their lusts. And that's what Yahshua was warning us against.
Don't be like these Pharisees and hypocrites. Don't come on Passover all dressed in gold with a heart of stone. We've got time now. Yahweh is giving us time to repent and turn and to humble ourselves and to develop that meek, humble spirit of gold that He wants. All right, now turn over to Proverbs 17 here, because what do you think the biggest hurdle is, or mountain, if you will, hurdle or mountain, whatever it is to you, is the biggest one we face at this time that we have to get over in order to go for the gold? Well, it's called the smallest member in another place. It's our tongue. Our tongue, or gossip and tale-bearing. All right? Our tongue. We've got to get a control over this. In Proverbs 17:3 says, like the refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so Yahweh tests the hearts, the characters of men. He's testing our character, and He's giving us these trials so that we can prove to Him, yes, we mean it, Yahweh, when we say we love Your house more than all else, and we're going to keep Your laws no matter what. Now let's look at a law real quick here in Leviticus 19:16. This is a law of Yahweh. Please, everyone, turn there and mark this in your book of Yahweh. Because this is keeping us from the gold here. This law is keeping us from this gold. The law is, and our behavior is. All right, and this is what we need to work on here and change. Leviticus 19:16 on page 98. You shall not go about tale-bearing, all right? It doesn't say gossip. It uses the words tale-bearing, means of bringing harmful speech, harmful reports, slander, or slandering among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your brother's life. I am Yahweh. Not only does this endanger your brother's life, it endangers your own life. It's harmful. It brings harm to everyone around, as we'll read here in Proverbs. And remember from your studies in the Peaceful Solution, what is the difference between moral and immoral behavior and character? Immoral is that which brings harm. So gossip, tale-bearing, and slander is immoral behavior. And we have to get it out. It's a negative trait. It's not actually listed in a trait, but it's a negative behavior that if you look at those negative traits, every one of those will result in gossip and slander and tale-bearing. Because the tongue, let's turn over to Jacob 3, and if we don't get to read this whole chapter here, please mark it for later, because this is so important. In going for the gold here, that we control this tongue. Yes, you know, the old phrase, he has a golden tongue. Yeah, we need to have a golden tongue. Speaking only righteous words that build up one another and build up the house of Yahweh. All right, in Jacob 3 and verse 2. For indeed, in many things we all offend or sin. If any man does not offend in word, the same is a perfect man or woman, and also able to bridle the whole body. Think about this, our tongue, our words. You know, we get so full of emotion at times, we get worked up, we get upset about things, and the first thing to go is our mouth, rattling, you know, uncontrollably sometimes. You know, we need to put a zipper on there or something, or a, you know, clothespin your lips, or better yet, use your mind and control it. All right? This is what we need to do. We need to set our hearts on this. Verse 5, in the same way, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is like a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue is set among our members, defiling the whole body. Now we read about gold being tried in the furnace, getting all the defilement, all the impurities out. But notice how they can get right back in. By the tongue, defiling the whole body and destroying all creation. Yes, you know what's caused the nuclear war, the nuclear fire? It was the gossip. One phrase of gossip started it all. Do you remember that phrase of gossip? Has Yahweh indeed said? That one phrase set in motion what we're about to witness on this earth of a nuclear fire and burning all hope of life away. Is going to be gone unless, and Yahweh's only going to step in at the very last second when all their strength is gone, when all hope of life is gone. He's going to let it go, but it took that much time and it started with one stinking phrase of gossip. So tell me, gossip isn't harmful. Now, you'll have to read the rest of that, but you know, well, I want to look at verse 8, he says, but the tongue can no man tame. No, not on our own. We need Yahweh's help. And he's given us the help. If we'll fill our minds and bodies with this golden oil that'll push everything else out, yes, we can tame that tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless Yahweh our Father, and with it we curse men who are being made in the likeness of Yahweh. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. And he said it then, and I'll repeat it for you here. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. We need to get these things out of our life. Please turn over to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 in verse 14. And if you'll read up here verses 1 through 11, here about Yahshua and how he became so obedient unto death. And remember, he opened not his mouth when his hypocritical false witnesses, the false tongues, rose against him and were about to put him to death. He was about to be put to the most horrible death that we're going to recreate or rehearse and celebrate, actually, this Yahshua's memorial of what it accomplished for us. But remember, he opened not his mouth. And his verse 11 says, every tongue must confess that Yahshua Messiah is King. And after that, you can go back to your gossip. No, that's not what it says. Now remember, there is unrighteous gossip and there's righteous gossip. All right, if you go out speaking about the sermons and boasting about the work in these last days and what it's accomplishing and what the peaceful solution is doing for your life, that's the kind of gossip we need to hear. But not as verse 14 says here, we need to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Without murmurings and disputings. In order that you may be blameless and harmless, the children of Yahweh, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now remember, gossip is the world's number one source of entertainment. I haven't looked at any shows, but I think that every show nowadays is nothing but a gossip show. Or they call it reality TV. Well, because their only reality they got is nothing but gossip. And he says, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean find your own way. It means put these things into effect. It means get the sin out of our lives. Get all disobedience out of our lives. With fear and trembling that any should fall short. But he says, holding fast to the laws of life, as Psalm 19 says, these are more to be desired than the physical gold, because these make our character like that lampstand representing the whole work of Yahweh, all one unity, all one piece of fine gold refined. This is how we need to be to Yahweh. This is how his family will be. If we'll put forth that effort to get this out of our life. And because we have a high priest, as as Hebrews 7:26 says, who is holy and harmless. Holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from all sinners. Look over to Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication, foul language, evil word, gossip proceed out of your mouth, but that which is righteous for the necessary upbuilding of the house of Yahweh, that it might minister blessings to the hearers. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, rage, anger, clamor, brawling, evil speaking, gossip, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And that corrupt communication is harmful. It's harmful. Not like Yahshua, who is harmless. And how we are to become is totally 100% harmless. Let's turn over to Proverbs 18. I tell you, the whole book of Proverbs is loaded with these righteous words. You know, the power that's in words is tremendous. All right? And that's why we need to get a grip on ours. And our speech actually starts out with the words that we say to ourselves. Our great deacon just a few weeks ago talked about this, about our thoughts, negative and positive thoughts. And how this is, you know, that same word there that's used in disputings in Philippians 2:14 through 16. It's the same word that's used in Matthew 15:19, if you mark that for your notes, where Yahshua said, for out of a man proceeds forth blasphemy and evil thoughts. It's evil thoughts, which are words. Your thoughts are words. If you'll just slow yourself down a little bit, you can almost, you can hear yourself talk sometimes, and maybe you'll catch yourself before you let that evil word slip out of your mouth and influence your actions. Because once a word escapes, there's no taking it back, is there? The time to stop it is to listen to it. Listen to your mind speaking before it comes out of your mouth and stopping it. For out of the heart, out of the character, proceeds these things. That's in Matthew 15 there. Very important to go over that. But in Proverbs 18:8, it says, the words of a talebearer are like wounds which go down into the innermost parts of the body. Not only the body of the one who hears it, but the body of the one who says it. When you start running down the counselors, and this is the thing here. Let me see where. Let's turn over to Proverbs 11 real quick. Proverbs 11 and verse 12 on page 503. He who shows he despises his neighbor. You know, you can show that not only to the neighbor, but to your friend about your neighbor through gossip, has no wisdom. So a man of understanding keeps his opinions to himself. Yeah, I don't remember any place in here Yahweh caring too much for our own opinions. You know, if you can find it, let me know. All right, but I don't remember Yahweh asking for our opinion and setting up his plan and setting up his kingdom. All right, what he asks for is our obedience. That's what he's asking for. Turn over to Romans 6:17. Hold your place there in Proverbs. Remember, we're servants to whom we obey. And in verse 17, he says this on page 878. But thank Yahweh, though you were once servants of sin, you have become obedient with all your heart to the form of teaching this pure golden oil here. Obedient with all your heart to the form of teaching, this is Yahweh's laws, which was delivered to you. And yes, it had to be delivered. There had to be a deliverer in every era to deliver the words of life, the pure golden oil. We had to have this, or there would be no understanding. This is how understanding comes. Okay, so a man of understanding keeps his opinions to himself, back in Proverbs 11. A talebearer tells secrets, but he who is trustworthy keeps a confidence. Now, these are things that there's problems, say, between husband and wife that need to be worked out. Well, the talebearer will go to their friends. How quick and easy it is to go and tell your friends your problems. What does it say in verse 14? Where there is no wise guidance, the people fall. Yes, you need more than just the book of Yahweh. You need the wise guidance of the one sent. And in the plan, remember Deuteronomy 1. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Or what the word should be is salvation. Now that means you go from one counselor, a multitude of counselors. You go from one to another seeking the answer you want, right? If you don't like what this one says, right? Isn't that what that's saying there? No, there's a multitude. There's enough counselors assigned. There's enough to where everyone has two counselors and is able to go to their counselors with their problems. And even beyond that, there's judges to go through. And you can call the office if you still don't believe what your counselors are telling you. All right? So, and then, you know, we have our pastor to go to. All right? We can get the answers from Yahweh. But don't run to your friend gossiping. And I'm not saying we need to call pastor with every problem. You know, he's already overloaded. That's why he assigned the multitude of counselors to investigate and take care of these matters. But if we reject that pattern, that was the pattern given by Yethro. Remember to Moshe, the pattern of the kingdom? If we reject that, we are being a fool and with no understanding. Look over at Proverbs 10 and 19. It says, in a multitude of careless words, sin is not lacking. Remember, gossip is sin. So he who controls his tongue is golden. Look at 29:11, Proverbs 29:11. A fool speaks everything on his mind, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Yes, not tail bearing, not running, telling everybody another person's problems. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. If it's personal matters, it's none of another person's business. You need to take it to your counselors. Let's look at Proverbs 26:20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no talebearer, the quarrel stops. Okay, these are words we need to take to heart, brothers and sisters, and put them to full use in our life. Proverbs 18:2, a fool has no delight in understanding, only in expressing his own opinion. Then in 17:28, even a fool is thought to be wise if he remains silent. He who shuts his mouth is thought to be a man of understanding or a woman of understanding. And verse 27, he who has knowledge is restrained in speech, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. All right, please, we need to make posters of these if you had to. Put them on your bathroom mirrors and let's start practicing this. Let's get the gossip out of our life. And if someone comes to you gossiping, tell them to get away. Tell them to get to their counselors. But don't sit there and listen to this gossip because it's a wound in you. It's creating a wound that now you have to work to heal that wound caused by gossip. It destroys your character if you listen to it, just as much as it destroys the character of the one who speaks it. Two more scriptures real quick. Psalm 50 and verse 23. He says, whoever offers the sacrifice of praise honors me, and to him who orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of Yahweh. And now let's finish with Yahshua's own words in Matithiah 12. Matithiah 12, 37. On page 739. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Brethren, there's much more to say on this, but I'm going to take my own advice and stop talking. And if you'll all please stand, we'll turn the services over to the great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have some really interesting video this morning. We're going to start off with this a crazy shootout. It's from CBS News. It was when that police officer, when they cornered him in the cabin. And it's something to keep in mind in case you think you can escape the hustle and bustle of city life by getting a cabin in the mountains. It's almost unbelievable. The reporters actually came upon this by accident. And then we have a video of some other violence that's going on in Las Vegas where they had this massive shootout. And even the people in Las Vegas are shocked. And they're pretty used to this kind of thing. Well, then we have one of the results of this increase of knowledge is video cameras are everywhere. And so we've got a lot of, video being taken with hidden cameras and this type of thing. And it kind of keeps people from pretending to be sane when they're crazy because we can prove what they're really up to. And so the next story is going to be, it's out of Abilene itself, out of the Abilene News Station, but it's a story about a Breckenridge He's a sheriff-elect. I think he's a sheriff now. But it just shows you the corruption that goes on with this police department, even in Breckenridge, how they tried to hide this from the city councilors or from the county councilors there. But he was involved in a scuffle where he actually tased another police officer. Or he tried to assault another police officer, and she had to tase him. It's kind of complicated what's going on there. But it said it's a cover-up, and there's corruption going on. And you wouldn't know it if it wasn't for these hidden cameras that they have. And then we have a man from Press TV who's talking about why the Pope resigned, and it was because of this, actually, a homosexual scandal. And he gets a little into this, and he talks about these underground gay groups in the Vatican. Of course, it's the whole Vatican, but they think it's these groups. And then he talks about how it's moved from the West to the Vatican. It's come from the United States. Of course, it really went the other way around. But he talks about how in 1980s, there was a male prostitutes going to the White House during the Reagan, the Carter, and the Bush administration. And I thought, this is crazy. I never heard of this. And I Googled it, and I came up with a video, Tom Brokaw himself in 1989 talking about this actually occurred. And they actually filed criminal charges, and they got them on credit card fraud, but they actually brought male prostitutes into the White House on a regular basis. So that's kind of a shocking story. So let's play the video. Now, just real quick, please remain standing. The call boy, so in case some people don't understand, that's prostitution, but it's pedophilia too. It's male children prostitutes. So everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone.
Just a little bit quiet here today. The best line to be up now. Come on. That's better. You may be seated.
I'm glad he explained what those call boys were. That's in Washington. I'd like to run a little test. How many can hear me right now? Anyone that can't hear me, hold up your hand. Anyone that can hear me, hold up your hand. Okay, now anyone who couldn't hear that news, hold up your hand. Well, I guess you all heard it then. Okay, I didn't see any hands go up. Great. It's very important that we keep up with this news. We had, Zephaniah had a bunch more than that, but I hate to give up the time. I've got a lot to cover. I was going to have all the things the little things caught up and worked in and explained everything that I've got laying aside. This very important prophecy in chapter 12 of Daniel. I had it all planned to bring that out, and then Yahshua is the one that spoiled it. You know, you can talk to him about it. He said, oh, you got to bring some more on this gold because the people are not don't understand it. And so that's the reason I changed it and started going for the gold. And I know it'll get clearer all the time as we go through this. You might be studying Exodus about the priest Aaron and his sons. Now, this won't tell you what we're doing today, but it'll tell you how Yahweh gets his kingdom set up. And of course, that's what's taking place right now. He's getting a kingdom set up. We may not be wearing these same clothing in the kingdom. We'll probably be wearing the real thing that Yahshua was making for us now. If you remember Aaron, Moshe gave Aaron the orders to make certain things for Aaron and his sons. Now keep that in mind now as you're studying this for the gold, because they're going for the gold. There's a lot behind this, and I can't cover it in 5 minutes or 10 words, but we will. We'll get it before the feast, Yahweh willing. Right now I'm told to tell you that those who need belts and can't find them, if you'll give us your size, this is the men, your name and phone number. We have a form somewhere in here that you can fill out. See the great Kohan Michael Sheets Hawkins, and he's the one who set it up. And now, would you get me that box of shoes out there? Better get it on a chair or something. I got a lot to show you here, too. Now, if you miss this today and don't get the chance to fill this form out so we can help you, you can go to Men's General Store tomorrow and fill out a form there and give them the size. Now, if you prefer to get a cheap belt, I think you can get them for that'll last you a couple of days anyway. We can paint those for you. Also, we're having trouble finding men's shoes of gold. We found plenty of men's shoes, but they look like this. Some at the Cowboys wore to Washington. And I said, I don't think I want our men wearing that. here's a belt that I had painted. And you can see it looks like a gold belt. If you turn it over, it's brown on the other side, but this is the side you're going to see. And we have a team of workers that can do just about anything. When Yahweh put this camp together, he put together talent. Some in music, some in other fields, but everything is covered. This is my gold shoe. We can do this for you. Do you hear that? This is my shoe. We can do this for you. You can walk in my shoe and I'll walk in it too. See how that shines? That used to be brown. It was brown at one time. Soles are still black. This, I won't take this one out, but this is a veil, face mask, veil, that's gold, very beautiful. It's shiny here. Y'all can see it shining there. You're going to get a great lift the night of the Seder. Yeah, that is found in the scripture, y'all. Yeah. you're going to think you're already in Yahweh Shammai with all the things that our team has planned. Here's the goalkeeper. You see it? That has a little bit of sparkle too. To it. It'll have more sparkle the night of the feast, the night of the Seder. The keeper clasp. Now, y'all can dress these up however you want them. But this is very beautiful like it is, I think. And then, of course, our tallit. Here's the headscarf for women, for children. That's, see how that shines? You think of this whole room doing that the night of, on Seder night, and whether you're sitting, standing, whatever, and here's the one for the older girls. That's going to be waving around all through the sanctuary. You're gonna see Miriam. You remember too? Study that too, because Miriam played a big part in the work that was given to Moshe. And I believe this is one for men, is it? Is that right? Or is it? Tell me somebody something. Anyway, it's there. It comes with the tallit, I think. But there's not a sign on it, so I don't know. But this is the golden tallit. If I spread that out, I'll never get it back in there, will I? Wow. I'll give the guards guard back in there. Or okay, now for women, go to the women's general store to get help with any of this. Hurry if you want our professionals to do this painting for you. We do have professionals. They're best in the world. And gold is pouring out of them right now. fill out the form here now, or you can do it later at the men or women's general store. It will be taken to the north office and given to the proper professionals. Belts and shoes for painting. Okay, that's that. You just need to hurry and get it done. We're running out of time, and we got to be ready for that night, as Moshe told Aaron and his sons. Now, you saw the news. It's all bad. They have no answers. There's a lot more. Drug overdose deaths rose for the 11th straight year. No answers. Can you imagine that? In today's educated, top education, now, you know, knowledge was increased. And the less answers now than there was before knowledge increased in the world. This comes from smart women. Letting your children watch television is hazardous to their health, makes them violent, it says. Long article on it. The man who the police officer, I don't think we had that. The blade man was on the news all week or 2 weeks now for charged with killing his wife. And of course the police officer that charged him and actually testified against him in court is now facing two murder charges himself. You know, this is the shape the world is getting in. And these are the people carrying the guns. Think about North Korea's got bigger guns. China's got bigger guns. And then you did see the sheriff. And, of course, this was investigated, they said, by the Breckenridge Police Department, Stevens County District Attorney, Texas Rangers, and Attorney General's Office, and none of them have any answers. Praise Yahweh. I am so glad that we do have the answers. And more are beginning to find out, and more are joining us. And, of course, the ones that are joining us has some political pull, and they're standing up to the critics who want us to advertise their condoms for them, and we won't do it, of course. But they're standing up to those people now and saying, you know, you people need to get this lesson and start taking it yourself. Now, going on to the goal, the sermon I brought last week, it might not have seemed to have fit in, but the reason I brought this about the Pope, now, it's a scandal in the Catholic Church that's bringing it down. And, of course, all of this was in prophecy. This is a kingdom that Yahweh himself gave to the people. And the next pope, I wrote a letter, what's his likeness going to be? Who will he be like? And the pope inherited right now a divided kingdom. And this is the last stages of the prophecy in Daniel that I noticed one of our young priests started on today. And I'm really anxious to hear more. It makes me think of Yael, too. You know, when his granddaddy came here, I was so anxious to get him to speaking. And he was about my age when he came here, but he's a lot older than me now. And I got that joke right this time. Told that three times. I screwed it up all three times. His sons are about my age now, but I expect his grandsons to be about my age in a little while now. And then we'll go on in the kingdom, of course. When we'll get older but not show age so much. But this pope now, he inherited a kingdom that was prophesied. And of course, they could have taken your place, you know, because it was offered to them. And if they'd have taken your place, there'd be no need for this house of Yahweh in the last days. But Yahweh, in his great wisdom, of course, he knew that they would not, even though it was given to them. And when you tie these scriptures all together from front to back, you see such a great plan. I know the apostles understood some of it. They didn't understand all of it. The prophets didn't understand. Some of them said they didn't understand. Daniel said, I don't understand this at all. And it really bothered him because he couldn't. But he saw enough of it to give to us. And then, of course, it was not meant for them to understand, not meant for the world to understand now. I see gold keepers and gold talites right now in the group. They're beautiful, man. If you go over to Daniel, the 12th chapter, I mean the second chapter, I'm sorry, He gives the ending of this, or is cut off at the close to the ending of it, but he gives enough to show who will bring this about, which is you. But here in chapter 2 of Daniel, we see this all lined out for us, but you can't understand it till you go back to and get everything that I brought you in Genesis. And with what I've brought you so far in Genesis, should help you to understand what Daniel is talking about here now when he shows you these four kingdoms. And I wanted to give this sermon. In fact, I did give this sermon, but I held back a lot of it at the time years ago, and or Yahshua held it back. But hopefully you'll understand the at least 70% of it this time, and then during the week, during the Passover week, in about a month or so, we'll get some more in on this. The great Kohan Yehuda is going to bring some mistranslated words that you'll need to understand this, and some other prophecies that we're going to bring about, especially about going on to the gold, going for the gold. If you don't understand it by now, the gold, of course, we're speaking of is the golden oil that Yahweh promised would come forth in the last days from a person he calls a branch. And that's the last work, as Revelation says. You got to remember that. Revelation's 10. And when that branch speaks, that's the finishing work. That's the finishing of the golden priesthood that could have came much earlier than this had the people yielded to it, but they rebelled, of course. Each generation rebelled and persecuted the prophets, if you remember. Starting with Cain, he killed Abel that could have brought forth this kingdom right there, but Yahweh knew that they would be subject to evil and wickedness and breaking Yahweh's laws. And of course, he prophesied when he would actually finish this work. But in verse 28, notice he says, but there is a Father in heaven who reveals secrets and makes known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what will be the latter days. Well, and you got to remember that like you do Genesis now, 49. Come and I'll show you what will take place in the last days. And Yahshua, come and I'll show you what will take place in the last days. And then Revelation, same thing. And Isaiah, in the last days, I will establish my house. All of this goes together right here. So when he says that in the latter days, what will be in the latter days, your dream and the vision in your mind as you lay on your bed are these. And then he starts explaining this to him. Look on over to verse 32. I'm going to skip through this, but later, hopefully in the feast, we'll take it word for word. Now this image, he says, verse 32, this image's head was of fine gold. And that's the gold you're seeking for here. This is what was actually given to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, it didn't work with Nebuchadnezzar, but Yahweh shows in this dream how it is going to work. And it's going to come out when? When? Last days. In the last days. And in the last days, he's going to have a house established. Where? Remember that? In the top nation, the chief of the nations. Now, in the last days, and it's going to involve a branch. You can remember that. And that was given also in Genesis 49, along with, now, if you remember, along with Yahshua, which he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Get that in your head too, because the commentaries will try to fool you. They try to fool you a lot. They even add words to the scriptures to try to fool you. But the image's head was the fine gold. His breast and his arms were silver. His stomach was and thighs were bronze. His legs, no use in going on to read every bit of that. Let's go on down to verse 37. Verse 37, You, O king, are a king of kings, for Yahweh, notice, Yahweh in heaven has given you this kingdom. This, you see that? Yahweh gave you this kingdom. This part of his plan. Nothing occurs without his plan. So to understand this, and he gives it to Nebuchadnezzar and tells him what's going to take place in the end. Verse 28. What's going to take place in the end? I'm giving you this kingdom. Now here's what's going to develop down through the years. And we come up to a time when the Pope is right now, his kingdom is the worst divided that it's ever been. And they're all fighting among themselves. And Constantine with his upside down cross, his sword, he couldn't solve it. If he were here today, he couldn't solve this. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put this Humpty Dumpty back together again. But the Pope is saying we need to recreate the Holy Roman Empire. That's the only thing that's going to save the earth, is to recreate the Holy Roman Empire. Now, if you remember Malachi Martin's work that I brought out along with the prophecies, and in the book, The Mark of the Beast, you really got to get these things in your mind. It would help if everyone would just devote their time to total reading of the Mark of the Beast, and of course keep up on these books of Israel, because I've painted a picture with all of this in these books. I know there's many of them, but you really need them. And you need to get it in your subconscious mind, and this will help you to start getting it developed into your conscious mind. But at the same time, it'll help you to overcome, like the great Shaul Hawkins just brought you, about the little things. I didn't know there's any gossip left in the house of Yahweh. Surely they're gossiping, I said, about the work right now. You know, that's the greatest gossip you could bring forth, and bring it forth to all the world, and build the house, let your children hear the gossip. The children are hearing the gossip anyway. You know, you may think you have it secret, but the children hear it. They talk about it to other children, and you know, this brings dishonor to the mother or father who is bringing forth the goofy gossip. It comes straight from Satan. You know, Satan is your accuser. She is our accuser. And if we do our job for her, we belong to Satan. And she's inspiring us. What your teacher says for you to do, you will do. The thing to do is repent of her being your teacher and turn to Yahweh quickly and get this golden oil in your veins. Well, he says, now you, O king, get this closely. Now, notice this closely. You, O king, are a king of kings, for Yahweh in heaven has given you this kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. That's verse 37. Yahweh gave him this kingdom. This kingdom had the chance of being the gold kingdom. If you look at verse 38, he says, and wherever the children of men dwell, or the beast of the field and the fowls of the air, he has given them into your hands and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. Do you get that? Well, we're taking his place, because what you see from this kingdom here now, what you see of his kingdom that Yahweh gave him, and he could have been doing our job right now, but Yahweh knew he wouldn't. He knew what was going to take place, and he knew how long it was going to take to put hooks in the Leviathan's mouth, as I brought you. Do you remember that sermon, any of you? put hooks in the Leviathan's mouth and turn him around. Well, this Leviathan that we're speaking of here is what Yashub was speaking of. Was what we see right here, what we're reading about right here, and what was shown to Daniel. This great Leviathan that is bringing down the people, she has more pull on the people today. Don't let your children watch television. It's detrimental. And what do they say? Well, they don't want to teach their children. They want to sleep or watch television themselves. One party said they had a television in every room of the house. And if the children were using one, they'd go to another and so forth. And each child could have his own television set or watch his own show. And of course, this person grew up and borrowed a gun from his mother and went and killed a whole bunch of people. Where did they get this anyway? Well, this is what can be put in the minds of the children today in the world, because they have confused minds already that's born with them. So any one of them can turn to a murderer anytime he wants to. And some of them are grown and playing around in the White House and have been for years. Yes, you just saw the film. You just saw the news. Tom Brokaw, I don't think I heard that when it came out years ago, but Tom Brokaw, he spelled that out pretty well. And the presidents we had in those eras, you know, Bush is not too far away from us, President Bush, Kennedy, he was well respected, one of the gods of Hollywood, even. It kind of makes you sick at your stomach when you see this taking place. And of course you see the popes and the cardinals, and they're all dressed like Aaron and his sons. They don't carry that name. They don't carry the gold that was given to Aaron and his sons to carry. They were given this gold. Kepha said, "You're like a bunch of hogs and dogs because you dumped it and went back to wallow in the mire." Remember, I read that to you last week when they was trying to say that Kepha was their first pope. Kepha condemned everything they're doing today. And of course, he named them as they were, and then they murdered him, like they did Shaul. But now, get this now. He says, "You are the head of gold." And then verse 39, "But after you will arise another kingdom inferior to you, then yet a third kingdom." I've been through this and named the kingdoms. It's all in detail in the book, The Mark of the Beast, written way back in the 70s. A third kingdom, bronze, which will bear rule over all the earth. Then comes the fourth kingdom. And of course, the fourth kingdom is led by 10 religions, and then 11th religion joins them. Then the 11th religion uproots three and takes them to Rome. And that's where they had their big army built, and where they'd been working for years there in Babylon to build their army of the captives of Israel, of the Hebrew people. Well, then the fourth kingdom will be strong as iron. Since iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, it will break in pieces and crush. And it's not going to disappear, but it'll break in pieces, that it'll be divided. This kingdom's going to divide and take over the whole earth. Wherever, remember his words, wherever there's man or beast, this kingdom of yours is going to take it over. They're going to rule over it. That's what we see in Washington right now. That's what we see in the Vaticans. That's why North Korea is getting ready to go to war, nuclear war. That's why other nations are getting ready for the same thing, who have the big pistols, not just the little ones that Breckinridge police carry, or the Blade policeman who is now charged with two counts of murder himself and taken off of the witness stand for the Blade Man. It makes them all look sick. Makes the whole municipal system look like a bunch of idiots. It makes the White House look like a bunch of intellectual idiots. I think that Barack Obama was the best blessing that ever came to that White House. Praise Yahweh. And if they would give him a hand, if they just listen to him and follow this man, but they won't do it. Of course, they won't do it. Scripture shows they won't. But he could bring them out of this. He actually could. He could turn this thing around in the White House and clean it up, and he has already a lot of it. But let me see how far to go. Yeah, let's go on. And because you saw the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom will be divided. Now, that's where we're seeing right now. This kingdom that you see, the Pope inheriting, this next pope is going to inherit. It's a very divided kingdom. And as Yeshua said, if you remember, a kingdom divided against itself won't stand. They will not stand. And of course, we see it falling. But this head of gold, they rejected it. The golden oil they rejected. Down through the years, they persecuted the prophets that Yahweh sent to warn them. They persecuted them and said, "We don't want nothing to do with you. Don't prophesy to us in the name of Yahweh." Well, this divided, but there will be some of the strength of iron in it, enough to pull the trigger of a nuclear bomb, and this is what's going to take place as Yahweh shows. "For you saw the iron mixed with earthen clay." This is the mixture. There's nothing there to hold it together. What holds you together here? I know you want to say, the time was when you came here, and I thought there was no hope for you. and I said, "Man, can we ever do anything with that?" And then I see people grow and become the greatest people on the face of the earth. And this is what I told the police officer that arrested me that night. I told him, I said, "No, those people won't harm anyone. They're the best people on the face of the earth. You'll never find anyone equal to them anywhere else in the world," I said. And just verse 42, "And just as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle." Well, if you remember, Malachi Martin said that inside the Vatican, he said, the Pope really has very little power. Now, he can hide things, he can tolerate things and hide things, but he really can't get anything done himself. He could persuade the majority. Now, that's the same thing if you pay any attention at all to the elections this year or to the work that Barack Obama tries to do. He can't do this. He can't do it on his own. He's got to pull the majority of the vote, get it voted and passed. And then when he does this, now here's the big problem with this setup. They're arguing about a law, trying to get it passed. Well, some will say, "Well, I will vote for this if you'll let me put this bit of law in it also for my community here in Texas or my community in Arkansas or wherever." So he puts this in into the bill, and then someone else wants a special favor for his group in some other state, and another wants something for his. So when you finally get this sensible law here, it has about 1,000 or so things that are made up for a minority group to give them special privileges. And of course, those are the ones with the money. And here's how the laws that we have. A law that might be a decent law, like stopping at a stop sign, you know. This might be a decent law, but it's got 10,000 other laws attached to it. So, and this is today's world. This is part of the weakness now of this kingdom that we're talking about here, that he says partly strong and partly brittle. "Just as you saw the iron mixed with the earthen clay, They will mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings now, in the latter part, see, it started here in verse 28 with Nebuchadnezzar, and he's showing him what will take place in the last days. So here we have a divided kingdom that the Pope is inheriting right now. And then we have the house of Yahweh. Look at it for yourself. Verse 44, in the days of these kings, but in the last days, see, the last days of these great kingdoms that have come down to this generation right now and so divided that they and their minds are so confused because they've brought this confusion into the minds of the people. It's inherited. It's in their veins, Yahweh said. Isaiah 65, the broth of abominable broth is in their veins, inside their veins, flowing through their heart, flowing through their brain. Right now. Whereas Yahweh wants just the opposite. And here's what he's saying. This golden head right here is going to become this last day's house of Yahweh that will be sucking in this golden oil, not the broth of abominations, but the golden oil of complete obedience to Yahweh's laws. Isn't that beautiful? And in the days of these kings, Yahweh in heaven will appoint a kingdom of priests. Well, if you remembered, I know you can't remember everything, but if you remembered the setup of the kingdom that Yahweh set up under Moshe, and then everything he went through there with the priesthood of Aaron and his sons. Now, when you see the Catholic Church today, you'll see that they're wearing some of those garments, but like all everything else, you know, they changed them. They mixed a fish hat to it and had a fish hat and a sword that they call the cross. And of course, that fish hat, it's the Leviathan, the great sea monster that is accepted. And of course, the pig with the apple in his mouth, this also shows what they're following. All of these things are signs to show you what these four kingdoms are amounting to right now. These four kingdoms are still ruling. They're just separated into pieces, broken into pieces, but they still control the whole earth. They're in every part of the earth right now. And of course, they're bringing forth war. And now they're bringing forth what they want to bring forth now is a depopulation so they can just have themselves to rule the whole earth, and they won't, and they'll be on white horses and ride off into the sunset and live happy ever after. Well, that comes forth in your movies for this kingdom. But the kingdom is going down. Yahweh shows, I've showed you this over and over, how it will end in nuclear war. We're right on the heels of this nuclear war right now, right on the heels of signing a peace treaty. That may be done this week, by the way, to put this put the seven-year agreement back in action. There's very little of it to finish. It's almost like nuclear war is the only thing that's left to finish in it, in this seven-year agreement. But that's going to be signed. I'm thinking it may be signed this week. Maybe not, but I think it will. If it does, it'll start, and then this will be the finish of it. And I'm thinking it is because this right here, this ordaining you as, you know, you are my sons. You understand this. Aaron and his sons. My sons and my daughters. Well, keep that in mind when you see Aaron and his sons. Aaron didn't have that many sons. That is, Aaron and his wife didn't have that many sons. It'd have been impossible. But if you'll like one scripture shows that there was 2,000, I believe that was in Ezra, 2,000 something, almost 3,000 priests out of one section now, priests. Now these were Aaron's sons. And when the Pope says, or Malachi Martin said, we are the Aaronic priesthood, they mean they're Aaron's sons. They're not Aaron's sons. They act more like orphans than they do sons. And of course, they don't keep the laws that Aaron taught them. They have changed the garments, which we will never change. These garments that we're seeing in Scripture, praise Yahweh, they represent the original. Not the natural now, but the original. The original of the priesthood that started at Abel, with Abel, and of course it's going to end at Abel, as you know that. Yahweh's bringing it about to end at Abel. In the last days, the latter end of this kingdom, these kingdoms, you'll see Abel once again come forth, but this time it will proceed and go into the kingdom now with this golden oil. This golden oil also gives you, is going to be given to you by our high priest Yahshua, the power that was given to him, like in Yochanan, where he says, yes, resurrecting the dead is a power that's given to the Son of Man because I am the Son of Man, not the Son of a God. But the Son of Man. If people could just get that in their head, they wouldn't run off with all these fairy tales in their mind. But he was the Son of Man, and that Son of Man, from the Son of Man, will actually come forth our power. It's coming forth right now to you, whether you know it or not. He's given you the power to learn this and get the total picture so you can see this total plan of Yahweh and start pulling for the family instead of against it. And anyone could get into this right now. It's still open. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you. I love you.